The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My papa loved to fish, and I never really got that into fishing. It just wasn't high intensity and fast-paced enough for me. But to be honest, it's really because I never had the patience to just sit out on the water all day and wait and hope and pray for a fish. But the summer after my papa died, my brother and I loaded up his boat, and we drove out to my grandfather's favorite spot to fish. We were out on the water all day long, and guess how many fish we caught? None. So just as we were heading back to the dock, we saw over in the distance that a canoe had flipped over, and there were these two guys trying to like get it to flip back over, to get back on it, to push it to the side. So we took the boat over, and we helped them get the canoe back to the side and them safe. We had to laugh, as we didn't catch any fish that day, but we did catch two people. I'm pretty sure that my grandfather, who was this great man of faith, was laughing at us, thinking what a biblical encounter we had that day. Now, I'm not so sure that when Jesus called the disciples to follow him and fish for people, that Jesus literally meant bringing people out of the water. So what did Jesus mean? Well, I think that we get a hint. Because right before Jesus calls the disciples, the gospel says in verse 17 that Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Repent. That's a hard word, a word that we might think means that we are responsible for overcoming our own sin, that we can do it, we can repent, if we just try hard enough. Sometimes we may think that repentance means taking baby steps towards change. You know, like the alcoholic that goes to the counselor expecting to be told, set a goal to drink one less drink a week, and then next week cut back on one more. It doesn't happen that way, though, right? Now, doesn't that sound like us, though? I know it sounds like me sometimes. We say, "I'm sorry, God. I will try not to sin again." We might even bargain a little bit, praying to cut back just a little bit each week or month until this problem of our sin is fixed. But that is not repentance. Repentance at the base root of the word means to turn from sin and turn towards God. Repentance, when we understand it fully, is an I can't experience rather than an I can experience. For example, if repentance is promising God, you know what, God? I can do better, then we are trying to keep ourselves in control of our lives. Because ultimately, if we could do better, then we don't need a gracious God. We only need a patient God who will wait long enough for us to get it all together, for us to do better. But instead, if we come before God confessing, you know what, God, I cannot do better. I need your help. Then we begin the process of repentance. We are giving up control of our lives and letting God make us more than we were before. We are inviting God to do what we ourselves cannot do, to change and recreate us into something more. Jesus starts today's lesson by proclaiming this message of repentance and this proclamation that the kingdom of heaven has come near, because Jesus is the great light among the darkness in which all people live. Jesus' ministry is being proclaimed as the dawning of a new light in which we are called to see God active and alive in the world. We are called to give up control of our lives and let God be in control. So how does this happen? And what does this kingdom of heaven coming here to us now really look like? Well, I think that that's where the next part of our gospel comes into play. When Jesus gives us an example of what that looks like. Because Jesus is out among the people and he sees these two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew. He sees them in the midst of their everyday life, in the activity of work, in the midst of providing for themselves and for their family. And Jesus stops in his tracks and he says to them, "Follow me. I will use your talents for fishing in a new way, in a radically new way, actually. I will make you fish for people." And what happens when the kingdom of heaven draws near? The people turn to God for guidance. And Simon Peter and Andrew left their nets and followed. Now, we might see Simon Peter and Andrew, if we look at the context of our scripture, as poor fishermen who lived without the benefit of the boat, right? They were casting their net from the beach, and they were able to draw in the fish only within the reach of the shore that they were on. And they represented this one segment of fishermen. But Jesus also wants us to know that this dawning of a new day, the kingdom of heaven drawing near, being called to follow Christ, is not just for the poor and the marginalized. So he continues walking down, and he sees James and John on the boat with their father Zebedee. They are fishermen with a boat. They're mending their nets, preparing to go back out into the lake for their next catch. And Jesus calls them too. And what do? They immediately follow Jesus as well. We know that we are called today, just like Jesus called those fishermen to be disciples, that we are called to something more as well. Jesus says to us, as he said to the disciples, "I choose you, I call you." But are we being called to lead? or to follow. When to lead and when to follow can be a hard thing to know. I read about a woman, a young woman once, who was filling out an application for college when she came across this question: are you a leader? She thought about it and she thought again, and then she said, you know what? I'm just going to be brutally honest. And she answered no. She was convinced when she sent the application in that she'd never hear from them because of that answer. But a couple months later, she received a letter back from the school that read, "We have reviewed numerous applications, and to date, there will be some 1,452 new leaders attending school next year. We have decided to accept your application because we felt it was imperative that they have at least one follower." We can't all be leaders, right? And what good are leaders if there's no one to follow them? In all actuality, we need both leaders and followers. And we are called as Christians, we are called by Jesus Christ to lead, but also to follow the example that Jesus set before us. Jesus summons people from every fabric of every relationship: brothers, sisters, daughters, sons, fathers, mothers, grandparents, and from the midst of the working world, fishing, teaching, banking, cooking, building, into this new set of relationships and to a new vocation for their life. So maybe, just maybe, we could look at how Jesus' call to the disciples made them more than what they ever thought that they could be, and then we can follow that example in our own lives. Think about it. "Follow me, you builders, and I will make you more, to build the house of God and the kingdom here. Follow me, you doctors, and I will make you more than just healers of bodies. Follow me, you landscape workers, and I will make you more. I will make you into landscapers of life. Follow me, cooks and bakers, and I will make you more to season, leaven, and preserve more than just food. Follow me, insurance agents, and I will make you more to ensure God's actions in the world. Follow me, you lawyers, and I will make you more to fight for God's justice and mercy. Follow me in whatever work you do. Friends, parents, children, siblings, neighbors, strangers, hosts, and guests, and I will make you more than all of these things. I will make you be that to every other human being." So, just maybe, we are called to be exactly who we are, where we are, but we are called to see that God is in control, always making us more for God's kingdom. Life is about giving the power and control to God and living each day using all of our talents, all of our abilities in service to God and our fellow humanity. The goal of the kingdom is not to serve us in being more efficient and productive in our worldly jobs. The kingdom does not help us ease in to the godly life. The kingdom of God shakes up the world. The kingdom of heaven rearranges our lives into this new design of God's own making. In these stories of the calling of the disciples, Jesus disrupts family structures, disrupts patterns of working and living. But Jesus does this not to destroy, but to renew, to help them and us figure out that we are made for more. Peter and Andrew, they don't stop being brothers. They are just now brothers who are doing the will of God together. James and John don't stop being a son. They are now not only son of Zebedee, but also children of God. All four of these disciples, they leave their fishing nets, but they never actually stop fishing. They are now bringing about the kingdom of heaven. They are now fishers of people. Their past has not been reduced to nothing. It has been transformed by Jesus' call to follow. So repent. The kingdom of heaven has drawn near. And rejoice, for Jesus has called you and me to follow, to be part of that kingdom of heaven here. Amen.